Scruffy Audio Network.
The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice.
Sweaty and pissed, menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.
Hey.
Hey, hello. Welcome to Sweaty and Pissed. Welcome to menopause.
And perimenopause.
There it is. I'm Karen Nickel.
I'm Leanne Morgan.
And I'm a nurse practitioner, family nurse practitioner, practicing in a private primary care practice. And Leanne, you are?
A professional comedian.
You are.
But Karen, you're also an opera singer.
Oh, that's right. That's another profession I had.
And when we met, you said I was an opera singer and I had a baby and I didn't want to raise him around a bunch of old opera singers. I thought that was so funny.
It's true.
I know.
So here we ended up in this here East Tennessee town.
Oh, Karen.
Love it.
You love it now.
I do.
But you felt like your world had come to a end.
Screeching.
And because you look like Baby Newworth and you are very Broadway and very, very wispy thin. And I'm sitting up here. My pants are cutting into my stomach and I'm overweight. But you love me for who I am, even though you've tried to help me. For those out there who don't know, Karen saved my life around 45. I was doing CrossFit and competing and I was eating paleo. Which, come to find out back then, meant a lot of sausage and bacon and not fruit and vegetables. But anyway, I was doing CrossFit and then started feeling really bad and got my days and nights mixed up like an infant and couldn't sleep and couldn't put one foot in front of the other and thought, what is wrong with me? Something's bad wrong. And so I had a bunch of little kids and I was taking them all to get braces. I'll get their braces adjusted and at a little doctor's office. And the woman... I laid my head down on her desk in front, and she and I got to be close because I'm a talker. And I said, something's bad wrong with me. I'm worried something is really bad wrong with me, and I can't put one foot in front of the other. She said, there is a woman that is saving people's lives, but you can't get inland. You can't go to see her. And I said, well, I've got a doctor, and I love him, and he's sweet, and he's good for a sinus infection. But I've sent and told him that my hair's falling out, I can't poop, and I don't feel good, and I can't sleep. And he goes, you're depressed. And I go, yeah, because I can't poop, my hair's falling out, I can't sleep. So he put me on an antidepressant that did nothing.
Right.
And so come to find out, my neighbor was a physician that you worked with. Remember them? Remember Dr. Collier?
Yeah.
And his wife said, oh, my gosh, I can get you into her. And it was like I was Charlie in the Wonka factory. You remember when the grandparents were in the bed and they were eating cabbage soup and nobody wanted to live and they all were bedridden. And then Charlie got the golden ticket.
The golden ticket.
And their grandparents, the granddaddy jumped up out of the bed all of a sudden. That's how I felt. And I came to you. And you said, I think you're in adrenal failure. And anyway, years later, and all the things you've been through with me, you've changed my life and got me up back feeling normal. And it took a while.
Yeah.
But you looked at my diet. You looked at all kinds of things, my thyroid, all kinds of things that I feel so bad. Why I wanted to do this is because I see women all the time because I'm a professional comedian. I do shows all over the United States.
Right.
And everybody feels bad.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can poop. Nobody's sleeping. Nobody wants to have sex with their husband. Everybody resents, them. And everybody feels fat.
Yes.
And everybody's skin looks bad. All kinds of things. Everybody's got plantar fasciitis. There's a million things.
Right. Yeah.
And you look at all these. You were the first person to listen to me. And you think outside the box.
Well, a lot of my patient population are people who are well people who don't feel well.
Karen.
I know. So
really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So when they get regular tests at their physical, they're told, everything's fine. You're fine. You shouldn't feel this way. Mm-hmm. But there are ways to make well people feel well. And there are ways to find out what those missing pieces of the puzzle are. And that's, it's that simple.
And you solve puzzles.
Puzzles.
I know you do, because my precious little doctor that was good with the sinus infection would just look at me in a stare. And then, and there was a thing on his wall that said thyroid. If you have low thyroid, these are the, and I had all those things just sitting up there, fat as mud. My hair thinning, like when I used to breastfeed.
Yeah.
And I couldn't poop. And I hate to say that. And there's two beautiful men in here with us right now. And I have to, they have to hear about my bowel movements.
I know.
But I could not poop. And I thought, I told him something is bad. And he just could not. He goes, no, you're just depressed. You don't feel good. Blah, blah, blah. It's your time of life. Also, I think that not so much. I mean, I don't want to say just men, but in the medical field, they don't, they didn't teach people how to deal with menopause. They just say, your mama had to go through it. You're going to have to go through it. Somebody said that to my sister in Nashville. Like the people who delivered Winona Judd's babies, like there's valet. And they said to her,
valet sucks.
Yeah. And they delivered Reba McEntire's baby. And they were like, this sucks. And it's going to suck. And I'm so
sorry.
Too bad. So sad.
Yeah.
They've never done a thing for her.
Good luck
to everybody
else. She's
trying to take all my supplements that you've given me. And I said, Beth, I don't know if your numbers are the same as mine.
Yeah. Yeah, because you had a lot of things going on. You had gluten intolerance that was undiagnosed. Are we eating gluten free, Leanne?
Yeah, well, I'm really trying to, I'm not on it right now. Let me explain that, gluten is somewhat like heroin.
Yes.
And I was on a gluten tear, and I started having plantar fasciitis.
Mm-hmm.
And I came into you, and you said, well, you got a gluten thing. I spit in something, you sent it off.
Yeah.
And to Washington State, where everybody's here.
Where everybody spits.
And and you said, you've got a gluten thing. So remember, I was gung-ho, went gluten-free, and you said this, don't start eating a bunch of gluten-free cookies, Lean, you'll be fatter than mud. And you said, try to just eat lean meats, fruits, vegetables, nuts, berries, and seeds.
Yeah.
And what God put upon this earth to sustain us. And I did, and I lost about 20 pounds, and my joints felt better.
Indeed.
And, and then I spotted a tortilla, and I was just like somebody on dope. And I got hooked on all that again. And then, I've been rebellious, and I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
And let me say, every time I go in to see you, I've apologized, and it takes about 5 minutes for me to ask for forgiveness. But, because I know I don't do right, because you're thin and wispy, and you eat pasta on your birthday. We all know that. But, all right, so the plantar fasciitis.
Yes.
I thought somebody was stabbing me in the bottom of my foot.
Right.
And it was so bad one time, I've had it two or three times with you, that you said, okay, you're going to have to go to physical therapy. And I went in the middle of the night to a man, because I thought I had broken something. I don't know if I ever told you this. I went to some orthopedic
in the middle of the night?
When they are still open.
Oh.
And he was such a butthole. And he said, I said, my nurse practitioner, who is brilliant, I know I'm on gluten, and this is gluten. And he goes, no, it is not. That's stupid or something. I don't know. He was wrong. He was an idiot. And I realized he put me in a boot. So anyway, I went back to physical therapy, and our darling friend over it, we can't say probably his name, redheaded, yummy.
Yes.
I said, all these women were sitting in a, I was getting physical therapy. All these women were sitting in a circle putting marbles with their toes in a bucket.
Right.
And they were on golf balls and doing on the bottom of their feet. And I said, hey, Karen Nichols says that this is gluten. They went, shh, Leanne, don't tell people anything that because it'll ruin my business. He said, yes, it's gluten.
Well, it's inflammation.
It's inflammation.
You know, if you're eating things that inflame you, you're going to get inflammatory disease processes. See,
tell them about that, Karen.
You know, and the other thing was, you, as you said, your days and nights were mixed up. You weren't sleeping, and you were dragging around all day. And that's working on your circadian rhythm, working on cortisol being healthy during the day and low at night. That was one of the things we started working on early on. That's where all those supplements came in.
All those big pills.
Yeah.
Okay, but adrenal, I was in adrenal.
Fatigue,
not failure.
Yeah, failure.
Oh, yeah, that's like, that's terrible.
That's bad. Your skin would be orange.
Oh, that's when you go in the hospital.
Yeah, that's
okay,
right.
I was in adrenal fatigue.
Correct.
And there's supplements you can buy over the counter for that.
Oh, yeah.
And what is it like when somebody goes through adrenal fatigue?
Well, when your cortisol regulates your wake-sleep patterns, it should be highest at 8 a.m., so you get up, you get going, and it's lowest at 2 a.m., so you sleep, and then it starts all over again. And especially in perimenopausal and menopausal women, because their female hormones are getting out of whack, so do some of their adrenal hormones. And so if your cortisol tends to be low during the day and then spiking at night, you're going to be dragging around all day and unable to sleep. Or it could be low all the time, so you never get a wake sleep message. You're just, your body's just saying, I don't know if I should be awake or asleep. So it just sort of stays at the same energy level, you know. So people are tired and then they can't sleep. And
is that why in the pickup line at school, all those mamas are laid back in a minivan with their mouth open?
Yeah.
And everybody has to set an alarm.
Yeah.
Because they're going to freak out if somebody opens a car door and they don't know because they're sound asleep.
Yeah.
I remember just like somebody drugged me.
Yeah.
When my children were little and I was in in my mid-40s.
Yeah.
And I picked them up at school and the sun was shining through a minivan.
Right. Because
everybody's passed out.
I know. Well, you grab it when you can because you're... You know, a lot of people do have low cortisol during the day, and they just don't have energy.
Do people come in and say to you every day, I'm so tired, and I have no energy, and I don't feel good?
Yeah, I think I hear from most people every day, I'm tired, I can't lose weight, my hair is falling out. I would say those are the top three.
Men and women, or just women?
Predominantly women, but I do have male patients who say, I'm just tired all the time, just tired, because we live in a stressful world. You know, living in America is a stressful experience because you go all the time. There's no, you know, in Italy, you take a little respite during the afternoon, recharge and go again. We don't do that. And we don't get long enough vacations. And we, you know, so we just drag around and try to make do by sleeping in the van when you're waiting for your kids, you know?
Yeah. And we, in another episode, we'll talk more about food
how
we're all killing ourselves with food in the United States,
mm-hmm.
our food supply,
mm-hmm.
because you've taught me more with that than I've ever known.
Well, you know, one of the things too about when you look at menopause and how that is experienced by women of other countries, like places like Japan and India, where they have mostly a plant-based diet, they have very few menopausal symptoms because they're not eating meat and they're eating a lot of what we call phytoestrogens, plant-based estrogens. So those women, for instance, in Japan, they don't even have a word for hot flash. Is that crazy?
That's crazy. Especially, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, you know, so a lot of it, a lot of our menopausal stuff happens because the way we eat. A lot of preservatives, a lot of fat.
And meat. But I'm from farming people.
I know you are.
And we killed our own.
I know.
And my little daddy had a meat processing plant. But I didn't eat as much meat as you think I would. I wasn't really a meat eater. But since I've been going through menopause, I think I've gotten comfort from beef. It was either that or whiskey. Even though, what is it about women and wine? Does something make you crave wine when you're like 48 years old?
Yeah.
Because I've never been a drinker.
I know. Menopausal women are supporting the wine industry solely, I swear. It's amazing.
Because everybody wants to check out?
Well,
what is it?
I think we're self-medicating. You know, it's just we don't feel well, so we drink wine. But the irony of that is that
causes
dilation of your blood vessels, which is what happens with a hot flash. So it will make hot flashes worse.
Does it also cause inflammation?
Well, if you're...
sulfites or whatever.
Well, it's a lot of the preservatives in there can be a problem. Or, and also, sometimes for some wines, especially red wines, it tends to cause a big histamine release. Like, you know, how people get stuffy after they drink red wine. So, and the histamine release is also an inflammatory process. So,
I know. What about, is should women be drinking tequila? Even though I have friends that fight real bad on it.
Well, listen.
In a parking lot.
Well, listen, for you, you know, 100% agave tequila is gluten-free.
But also M&Ms are. Remember when you told me that some little girl you had and gotten hooked on those.
Like gained 60 pounds. She came back eating gluten-free. I said, what happened? She said, I found out M&Ms are gluten-free. I was like, oh, Lord, we gotta change this.
What size pants do you have on right now, Karen Nickel?
I'm maybe a 6.
They look like they're a 2.
Well.
And they're hanging on you. On top of that, I've got on, I'm not going to say what I've got on. I'm just, let me say that I've got on Loft, which ought to tell you that I've hit a bad place. Not that Loft's not precious.
It is.
But they give you some stretch. But you are like a wispy mannequin. But take me through, because I've asked you this in the office.
Yeah.
What do you eat? Because you don't have bad menopause symptoms, do you?
No, but I'm on hormone replacement too, so that.
Oh, and we're going to talk about that too.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to talk about on future episodes.
Yes.
We've got maybe 500 episodes.
500 minimally.
That we're going to talk about all this.
Yeah, because we could do one whole episode on inflammation.
Yes. And we will. Let's do one on inflammation.
We'll do one on adrenal fatigue.
Food's killing us.
Hair loss. Pop-Tarts.
Yeah. Hair loss.
Are you doing Pop-Tarts?
No.
Oh.
I know.
Okay.
Because I heard there's something like from horses in there.
Well, look at them. I mean, do they ever deteriorate? It's crazy.
There's a million things that I want to talk to you about.
So we'll, and we want to talk about it, Leanne, right? Because I don't think a lot of women realize that they're not alone. This is happening to a lot of people.
To most people, and there's no solutions, it seems like.
It feels like.
It feels like maybe in our part of the country, you know, because Suzanne Somers, let's give it to her.
Yeah.
She wrote a book years ago.
Oh.
And she was talking about all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing this for 15 years, and they've been doing it much longer on the coasts. And I think the wooden wagon just showed up recently to Knoxville with that information on it. I'm like, dang, because, you know, now we see more of the sort of wellness practices. But it's
been
a
slow go. And more compound pharmacies
that
are doing all this for you.
Yeah.
But there's not many people that do what you do in our area, but probably in other parts of the United States. I bet there's women sweating up in Wisconsin. New Mexico.
Well, if you go to a big metropolitan area, there are people doing this, but you know, you pretty much to see it pretty regularly, you have to hit one coast or the other.
Yeah. And people being around somebody that lives in Los Angeles, I hear stuff from her, and she's amazed that the stuff that you've given me
has helped her.
Well, that she's already been doing all this, and that you've put me on different thyroid medicines, and that she didn't know that anybody in, because her family's from Kentucky, and nobody's on anything that I've heard of, but she's heard of it.
Yeah.
She's already known about what you've done for me, and we talk about it all the time. Yeah. And then little Karen Mills that I travel with, she went through ovarian cancer, and then, and she's doing great, but she was trying to get somebody to help her regulate all of her goings on. And she's in Chattanooga. And it's been harder for her to find somebody
that can
do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just know that I've talked to a lot of people that they go, I'd give anything if I could go see who's helping you. And even like in other states, would she let me come? And I knew you couldn't take anymore. I've already made you take a bunch of people. And you just cannot take any more. You don't. You already don't have a life because you're doctoring everybody.
Well, I'm hoping that I help people. That's the bottom line. I do have a couple who fly from England to see me, and they were like, "Oh, I have so many people I want you to see," and I'm like, "How about you just fly me over there, and I'll take care of all your people."
Oh,
you know, it's
my
like,
gosh,
isn't that crazy?
That's
crazy.
But I can see why they would do it. I've often thought if you stopped, I don't know what we'd do.
Well, I've learned a lot about the English health system through them. That's been interesting. Yeah.
Oh, and we'll need to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So as right now, as I'm sweating under my breath.
Yeah.
And I found something. Oh, and your child is in here, Forrest, who is a grown man, a beautiful man with a big head of hair.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that he doesn't want to hear about the sweat under my breath, but I found a wonderful product that is talc free.
Yeah.
That you can pat under your breast.
A powder,
because I'm on
saying?
Stage. Yeah, and I'm on stage, and you know, there's all kinds of things that I've break out in a sweat.
Have you ever taken a panty liner and put it under your...
I've heard of that.
That works. Yeah.
You just stick them there?
You know, stick them to the inside of your bra.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the sticky side's against your bra.
Oh, Forrest.
And then you have wicking activity in the breast fold.
But he's been raised hearing horrible things, haven't you, my daughter?
Yeah.
He's raised hearing beautiful music and horrible, nasty things about women's bodies.
Yes. Mm. Yes. I think vagina's been said
many a time.
Many. Poor Forrest.
Well, and you know, Forrest, how old are you?
26.
Charlie, my oldest, is 24, and he's watched me nurse and girls' sisters talk about periods and horrible things. And now he's married, though. I think it's made him a sweet husband.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a sweet guy.
Thank you. His daddy cannot talk about anything that way. But has watched me birth and saw my uterus on top of my stomach when I had a C-section and said, "Leah, it looks like a Cornish hen." And I said, "Chuck, I'm going to vomit." But he has seen me go through 2 V-backs and a C-section.
Wow.
And all that going on, and has cut the cord and do all that. But I can't tell him that I can't poop. That he goes, "Are you trying to ruin our marriage?" So that's why I have to come in here and talk about how I can't poop.
Yeah.
Because I don't have anybody to talk about it at home.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids will listen.
So he's an action person.
Yeah, I guess.
And not a,
you've
not
always
a verbal
taken up
person.
For him. Right.
No.
She sees my husband, too, and he loves you so much.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, he doesn't talk a lot to me either, so.
I know. Do you? That's what the nurse is saying. I said, he really doesn't talk. I know.
He's great.
But he knows
is
that
an
I've
action person.
He is.
And he shows everything by his actions versus his
acts
words.
Of service, love language.
Oh, that's right.
And if you said to him, "Chuck, don't eat gluten." Chuck would get off of gluten and stay off the rest of his life.
He's very compliant, unlike other Morgans
I know. He is an overachiever and sets a goal and can reach a goal.
Yes.
And, you know, he's constantly working on his health and weight and playing tennis and doing all that. I enjoy a good Handmaid's Tale series.
Oh, wow.
On
Has
Hulu.
That been good?
Are you
so
on second
happy.
Season?
Oh, yeah. I was so happy when it released.
I was too.
Although it's depressing.
It's very depressing.
Yeah.
But
so good.
But so good.
So well acted.
It is, and they've all won Emmys, but I try to explain it to people, and I can't. You probably explain it better than I can, but I cannot explain what in the world all of this is going on. But it makes you wonder, could that happen?
That's the frightening thing. Well, I remember when that book came out, it was like 1982 or something, and I read it then and thought, oh my gosh, this could happen. So
Margaret
when they
Atwood, because you were reading.
I was
That was in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know what I was doing? I was dancing to Prince, drinking a Long Island tea.
Yeah.
With a Limited 2 outfit on. Not Limited 2, Limited. Limited 2's for little children. Limited.
Oh,
and I was an idiot. You were reading. See, that was the difference in me and you. And look what you became. Okay. Can you tell them, because I thought this was so interesting, will you tell them the story of how you, how the twists and turns that happened in your life? Oh. Because you're from a medical family, all these doctors and surgeons. And okay, can you tell them about that? Because that's fascinating.
Oh, well, my both my parents were physicians. My father was a general surgeon. My mother an anesthesiologist, which was amazing that she was a female physician at that time.
Oh, I know.
Miraculously, she was doing that and raised five kids and married to a surgeon.
Who you say are very smart but egotistical people. Mm. Because they are saving people's lives and taking names.
You know, and he was on call a lot. So, I mean, she was doing it all. I don't even know how she did it, but she was amazing. But anyway, so when I was, we all had to learn piano. When we were five, we started taking piano lessons. But then when we were in fourth grade, we had to pick a stringed instrument to play. And I reached fourth grade, and they said, "What string instrument do you want to play?" And I said, "How about if I sing?" Because I didn't want to play a stringed instrument.
Which one were you in, the ordinal position?
Fourth of five.
Okay.
So they said, "Okay, then you have to sing in the church choir." So there I sat as a fourth grader.
With all the older people?
Yes, indeed. So anyway, and then I did, you know, choir in high school and middle school. And so when I went to college, I auditioned for voice lessons and for the choir just because I wanted to keep singing. And when I auditioned, one of the teachers came running down the aisle, waving her arms like she won Price is Right, and said, "I want you to study in my studio." I'm like, "Okay, that sounds good." And so I started studying with her, and she happened to have been a person who sang at the Met and sang at Radio City and really knew the ropes in New York. And the whole first 2 years of college, she kept saying to me, "Karen, you can make a living doing this." And being the pragmatic Kansan that I am, I thought that doesn't really sound right.
Because you were going to go medicine.
Yeah. I was a biology major. I was pre-med. And she kept talking to me about it. And I finally said, okay, I'll take all music courses, see how it goes. So I ended up with a bachelor's degree in voice performance and then went to Manhattan School of Music for my graduate work. And last semester I auditioned for and got the role of Carmen in Peter Brook's Carmen on Broadway. And then off I went.
Oh, my word.
So now I've come full circle and I've gone back into the
And you met your husband who is a singer.
Mm-hmm. He's a bass baritone. Met in Santa Fe at Santa Fe Opera, doing a production together there.
And y'all look like movie stars, both of you.
That's right, we do.
And
thank God this is not a visual.
You are a movie star. Okay, and then you had our sweet Forrest, Yummy, who is a tall man that everybody wants to breed with.
Yes.
So they can have tall children.
Yes. You have two daughters, right?
Yes, that are very tall. And they've got thick ankles. They can work in the fields, Forrest. I think they're going to be very fertile.
Yeah.
Okay. And they were volleyball players. So, I mean, I don't know. Y'all could probably have an Olympic volleyball player but that could sing.
Wow.
But I know. Because we really don't have the music in my family. That doesn't run in my... My little grandmother could play the piano by ear.
Your son is a musician.
He loves bluegrass and all kinds of music and plays the banjo and the mandolin, but wasn't a natural, like took lessons and loves it.
Right.
But, you know, could just not pick up something and play it like y'all can.
Well, Forrest can do that.
I told you,
I'm very... It's all to practice, put a costume on. Be told where to move.
All right, so y'all had Forrest, and you told me the first time we met, you said, "I just didn't want to raise him in front of a bunch of old opera singers." That's exactly what you said. And so your husband came to the University of Tennessee to be a voice professor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Professor of voice. And so we moved here.
And you were like, "What am I going to do now? I lived in Manhattan."
Uh-huh. And at that time, you know, we didn't have... you know, Skype and YouTube. And I mean, you had to be in New York to have a career. I mean, to audition. And so I finished out the contracts I had, and then I found out there was a nurse practitioner program at UT and applied, got in it. And
but you had to get your nursing degree first. Right.
Well, it was a program called the MES program. It was a master's entry level program, and you could have a bachelor's degree in anything, clearly. I had a degree in voice performance. And then you got your RN and your MSN, and you were doing both at the same time.
Oh, my Lord.
So, and listen, I had taken a bunch of chemistry, a bunch of biology, a bunch of math. And so they were looking at my transcript. Now, mind you, this is 20-something years later, right? And when they were looking at my coursework to see what prereqs I needed, prerequisites, they said, you're fine on chemistry. I said, are you sure I don't need some more chemistry? Because I'm telling you, the periodic table was much different when I was in school. And they're like, oh, no, that's fine. I was like, okay, whatever. But so I had to take, like, you know, nutrition and abnormal psychology. Forrest basically took that course with me because his daycare thing got wacky. And I just said, come to abnormal psych with me.
And you brought your baby.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor guy.
And that nursing program at the University of Tennessee, which I'm an alumni of the University of Tennessee, is out of this world.
It's excellent.
And, you know, I did a show for them.
Oh, you did?
It was a fundraiser. It was a lot of hoopty-doo people there to raise money for one of the bodies that they bring out that can, like, actually give birth and have a heart attack and stuff like that. And they're like 150. I mean, how much are they for one of those things?
We didn't have one of those.
Y'all didn't.
Oh, no.
Well, she wasn't a beaut, let me tell you that. But they rolled that thing out. And she could have birth. She could have a heart attack. I mean, all kinds of things.
They could do paps and stuff on her.
Yes.
Wow.
And, yes, and I did the show, and I thought, I looked around, and not that everything's about beauty, but being raised in the country, I mean, it kind of was. We just, everything was a pageant.
Yeah.
But I just looked around and thought, these are the prettiest people I've ever seen are nursing students at the University of Tennessee, and they're all brilliant.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that is a hard program.
It's very competitive.
Because my baby, who doesn't care anything about school, is living with roommates, a set of Ukrainian twins that make their own almond milk.
What?
And they're brilliant. Yeah.
Well, how can you compete with that?
I know. And they're in pre-med, and they're brilliant. And then her little best friend from high school, Annalise, who is in nursing at UT and studies all day long, every day, and cries all day long, every day. And she's in with these three girls. And then Tess is sitting there doing people's makeup. She watches YouTube videos instead of studying, because that's what, and she's good at it. She's got a talent, and she's getting paid. But still, but these little Ukrainian girls, it's like living with two little Russian women that they say things like, I would never disrespect my father. It sounds like something in a movie.
Yeah.
They're like World War II little women, and they dry out their own, they dry out, avocado seeds, because that's superfood, and crack them on their salads. And they make their own almond milk. They've got nut bags. They go, we've got our own nut bag. I'm like, what is happening? I've never seen people should raise their children like little Ukrainian kids.
Yes.
Because they're the sweetest little girls, and they say things like, I would never disrespect my father and what he has given me. They keep their cars clean. I got in Tess's car, and I thought, there's a dead animal in here. And it was a pair of shoes. But people need to wear anklets, you know, in their shoes. But anyway, when you're walking on campus and you're hot. But anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that tangent. But I just wanted people to know how brilliant you are. But what you do, what I'm fascinated about you, is that you're constantly reading up and trying to figure out what the newest, latest thing they're finding. Because you would tell me, well, I've been reading this study, Lynn, and you've got so-and-so, you know, is what's wrong with you. And so, and, you know, when you go to And I love a doctor, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But when you go, like a lot of times they don't have time, they don't listen, and you don't really have time. But you make time. When I'm telling you things like, I'm going to kill Chuck, I want to kill my husband, and I don't feel good, and I just want to lay in the bed and kiss dogs in the mouth and watch Handmaid's Tale. You say, okay, Lynn, let's check your thyroid. Let's check your thyroid numbers. I think we may need to up the... You know, you really are good about it.
Your estrogen's gone wacko. Remember? I mean, when you were going into menopause, and then all of a sudden, no. You were
you told me.
In land of fertility.
You told me you are, I think you're in it, Lynn, that we're going to be able to take your IUD out. You know, I've had to have an IUD for years because I am as fertile as the Napa Valley.
Yeah.
And Chuck Morgan would not get a vasectomy because he wanted a slew of children with me. And then I got older and better. And then he was like, I don't want any more children with you, Lynn. I would like to foster and adopt, but I don't want any more with you. But I thought, but he still wants to, you know what? And that's biblical. So, and what God's way is, and I need to do that, you know, so he'll keep working and we have health insurance, you know, all that, how that goes.
It's all connected.
So it is very all connected. Yeah. So I told him, you said, this next time, Lynn, we're going to be able to take your IUD out. Mm-hmm. And I'm shocked this thing hadn't fallen out yet onto the street. But anyway, how long have I had it? A long time. Like every year you go, I don't know. How long has this been? So you said, I think we're going to be able to take this thing out, Lynn. Your estrogen is bottomed out.
It was.
And that's why you're angry and bitter and dry and you don't feel good.
Yeah.
And then it shot back up.
Up.
And my breasts were the size of that Pulp Fiction poster. Yeah. And I thought, what is happening to
me? That's big, by the way, for the audience who can't see that.
I know, that's about 4 feet
that's
tall.
That's big. Yeah. So, I know.
And you said, Lynn, you could have a baby. And I'm 52 years old. You said you've got a lot of estrogen and you could have a baby. And you know how I took that? I was so proud of myself. I wasn't torn up and scared. I thought,
well, we still had the IUD in.
Well, that's true.
So that helped with the
fear
factor.
Which I'm so worried that's just going to fall out sometime.
Just keep
checking.
And I'm
going to step on it on the street. But I thought, oh my gosh, I'm from country. I am from farming and we are strong.
Yeah.
And we can do anything. I had a grandmother. I think I told you my Aunt Minnie delivered her babies because Dr. Elder couldn't make it on a horse or something. And my Aunt Minnie could make a good Jell-O salad, but she was not a doctor. And she would deliver. My grandmother had them in a bed at home. One of them was breech, and they got turned around somehow. My Aunt Marilyn, and my grandmother would say, Lynn, I never even took an aspirin tablet.
Mm.
She could do anything. And then she also hung her clothes out on a line. She was Irish, full Irish, short as she was round, and we'd lay on her like a mattress. And she had chickens and all that. She'd take a chicken, wring its neck, and then fry it right in front of us and pluck it. It was very traumatic. But she would hang her underwear out on a line, and she had big panties. I remember going, Nanny, you've got really big panties. And the crows would get on top of it, and she was afraid that they would land and shoo-shoo on her panties.
Right.
On her laundry. She had a rifle, and she was a wonderful shot, and she would shoot and kill those birds. So those big old mean black crows.
What better
and vultures.
To get crow blood on your sheets or panties than crow poop? What?
Maybe she went above their head just to scare them. She was an unbelievable shot. That was her wedding gift from my granddaddy. But anyway. Tough. I'm saying tough as a pine knot.
And you're glad that you've carried on that tradition.
I think I have. I know I'm sissy and I don't have willpower. But I do think that I've got a strong constitution.
You have genetic power.
Do I really? Yeah. Are you messing with me or I really do?
I mean, you can keep.
I feel like
you
I
can
do.
Still pass on your genes.
Wouldn't that be a hoot? One of my girls who is 22 and just graduated from UT Saturday, she goes, Mom, do it. Have another baby because she loves a baby and she's been a nanny, you know, for little children, loves it. And then the other one said, do not because I am the baby. and I don't want you to have another, you know, Tess, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah.
And then Charlie just looked at me because he and his wife, you know, eventually will have children, not anytime soon, but he doesn't want to raise children with me because I'm already up his butt hole.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to, you know, live near me and no. us, you know, have we're the, going to play
going
dates.
Through the same yeah. thing together. Yeah.
And I know that I don't need to have a little baby because I, you know, this. My mind, I've got brain fog so bad because yeah. of perimenopause.
Yeah.
And you've been trying to work on that, that I would leave a baby at Target or Zaxby's.
On top of the car.
Yeah.
In the car seat.
Yes.
Yes, you would.
I couldn't tend yeah. to a little baby. I'm, yeah. My core strength is bad. I got eyelash extensions yesterday, and she had to, like, pull me up off the butt because I might start spasming. I've got to do more core work, which let's say, and I know we're getting, we've talked and it's, I've had a ball. It felt
so
like 2
fun.
Minutes.
Yeah.
But you are a big exerciser and you have stayed fit and mm-hmm. it has helped your menopause symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that.
Yes.
Okay. So I guess we probably need to end this one.
Yeah.
Because people probably got to go in and get their groceries. Yeah. So people can find us. I've had a ball. Have you had a ball?
I have absolutely had a ball. How could I not?
My darling.
And we've got great episodes coming up.
Yes, a buttload of things we can talk about. And we want to help people, and we want people to laugh,
and
we also want to help people
and we want,
through you.
Yeah, we want people, fewer people, to be sweaty and pissed.
Sweaty and pissed.
Yeah.
And so you can find us on social media, yeah. on all the voodoo. I call it Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
And wherever you download your podcasts, you can
yes.
find us there.
Yes.
Wherever you get your favorite podcasts, right,
we've
Leanne?
Got darling young Forrest who's going to, yes, do all that for us.
Yes.
Because I don't know how all that works.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. Till next time, my little
yeah,
Karen.
I look forward to talking to you Whisper all next
Karen.
Time.
Okay.
Bye, Leanne.
Bye, my Karen. Sweaty and pissed. Sweaty and pissed. Menopause makes me sweaty and pissed.